Perek Aleph, on Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Okay, last thing we're learning about the carbon eilah that a person has to bring it willingly, and even though this is speaking about a donation type of a carbon, not an obligatory carbon, but once the person obligates himself to bring a carbon, it has to be the tzayne willingly, and if not, you have to force him to do it, and so on and so forth. Okay, so you have to bring the blood, and we learned the Kohanim do not have to do the Shechita. The Shechita, even Yisrael is allowed to do, or a Levi could do the Shechita, because it says, V'shachat v'sabakar b'vnei Hashem. First it says, Yishecht it, and then it says, the Kohanim bring the blood on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara learns out, the Shechita does not have to be done through a Kohen, but the receiving of the blood, squirting the blood on the Mizbeach, that had to be done only through a Kohen.
I heard that they call for 150,000 pounds of the meat that they were torturing the cows.
Okay, we're not learning that now. We're learning now. Okay, so the Torah says like this: afterwards, you skin the carbon eilah, and you cut it into pieces. Now Rashi explains what does it mean that you cut it into pieces. You don't cut the pieces into pieces. In other words, here also, the Mefarshim explain, it doesn't say who skins the animal. It just says, he skins the animal. So again, Gemara says, from here we learn out that it doesn't have to be a Kohen that does it, it could be anybody that does it. And therefore, in fact, unlike we'll learn later with the birds and different things, this skin is not brought on the Mizbeach. Even though carbon oila normally means is completely burnt on the Mizbeach, completely brought up, that's why it's called oila. Nevertheless, the Torah doesn't speak about the skin. The Torah says you hide the animal, hide as in take off the hide. That is divided amongst the Koyanim. That's divided amongst the Koyanim, and that is not brought up on the Mizbeach. And Rashi also says that there's exact amount. You bring your own minion? What do you do?
The Russian mafia,
if anything. Okay, it says you cut the pieces, and the Gemara says exactly how many pieces they cut it into, which is not relevant at the time, but that's it, they didn't cut it extra. In other words, you have to cut exact the amount, you don't cut on the cutting. So they cut the exact amount. Okay, next pasuk is what we're going to talk more about. Aaron's children have to bring the fire on the Mizbeach, and they have to arrange wood on the fire. This is called the Ma'areches, which is actually putting in a certain order that they put the wood on the Mizbeach. Now, it says an interesting thing. The Mefarshim ask, in fact, Rashi asks the question, why does it say, V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eish al ha-Mizbeach? We know b'nei Aaron is a Kohen. Why does it say B'nai Aaron HaKohen? So the Gemara learns what the Rashi says. What it means is that the Kohen has to be wearing the Bigdei Kohuna. The Kohen has to be wearing the garments of the Kohen at the time he does it. Meaning he has to look like a Kohen. Not only is he B'nai Aaron, the son of Aaron, who is a Kohen, but he has to actually look like a Kohen. Meaning if he's not wearing the Bigdei Kohuna, he's not wearing the garments of the Kohen, he's not allowed to do this. Now,
only the original five Kohanim.
Well, originally it was Aaron and his four sons.
So maybe that's what also
means? No, because B'nai Aaron HaKohen, first of all, it's singular. It means any one of his kids.
Is this Rashi, or who is the commentary that says if they don't wear the
Rashi? Well, Rashi brings it down for Teres Kehanim.
What page are we on?
546.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what?
What? The Kohen?
Not necessarily.
Anybody
that knew how to shecht it. If the owner knew how to do shechita, he was allowed to do it.
So they would do the shecht right by the Mizbeach?
Right. Well, not by the Mizbeach, because if he wasn't a Kohen, he wasn't allowed to go in. But he shechtas him at Tzofen, on the northern side, outside a little bit.
So they would shecht the animal,
and then they brought it in. Correct.
So
now, in the olden times, you have to remember, in the olden times, much more people knew how to shecht. They didn't have butchers like we have today, and the big plants that they have.
just in the old times, people had an animal, they shechted it.
And they had to check the animal?
They had to check the animal before, make sure there were no blemishes, external blemishes. Then they checked it afterwards to make sure there was no internal blemishes. It had to be with no mum. In fact, the Rambam enumerates, 58 or more. The Rambam enumerates all the possible blemishes that would disqualify a korban. All the blemishes that would disqualify a korban. Even if it had a broken foot, I mean, so many different things would disqualify an animal as a korban. So that was done in the process of checking. Now it says like this. The Bnei Aaron HaKoyanim had to put a fire on the Mizbeach. Now, the Gemara says, in Yuma, the Gemara says that a fire came down from heaven. The Gemara says the fire came down from heaven twice. Once in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, a fire came down from heaven. And that lasted throughout the duration of the Mishkan until they actually built the Beis HaMikdash. When they built the Beis HaMikdash in Shlomo HaMelech's time, another fire came down from heaven, also to burn the korbanos. Now, even though a fire came down from heaven, the Torah over here says, as the Gemara uses the expression, mitzvah lahavi min ahedyet. It was also a mitzvah to bring the Jews had to bring a fire. It wasn't enough to have the fire that came down from heaven from Hashem, it also had to be that the Jews actually also brought a carbon. Now, the Arachayim HaKadosh explains, why did they need two fires? So he says like this, I'm sorry, the Klei Yochid, not the Balei Torim. I mean, not the Arachayim. He says like this, because there was, when a Jew sinned, there was the fire from above and the fire from below. Meaning, fire represents the punishment of the Jew, because Bezdin would give Sreifa. Bezdin would burn the person, one of the punishments. When a person commits a sin, they are punished, so to speak, in the heavenly court and in the earthly court. What happens instead of the person dying? We discussed before that person, by bringing a carbon, Hashem in His infinite kindness says, the carbon will burn, and that will be considered as if you burnt, and therefore I will forgive you. But because a person did two types of Avedis, he was judged in the earthly court by sinning down here, and in the heavenly court because Hashem punishes the person. So therefore the Torah says, you need to bring two fires on the Mizbeach. One that Hashem brings, to show the punishment from the heavenly court, and one from the earthly court that the Kohanim brought. This is what the Klei Yochid explains. What did you want to ask?
What about Eliyahu and Baal, the two altars?
If you listen carefully to the Torah reading this coming week and the Haftarah, it's the whole story there. That's a completely different thing. That was a bomb that wasn't on the Mizbeach. It was a completely different thing. Okay. Now, in a deeper sense, what is this double fire? From one side we say that the fire came down from Hashem, the heavenly fire, and yet the Torah says, Eish tamet tukad al mizbech lisich, but there needs to be the earthly fire on a continuous basis. In fact, one of the positive mitzvahs of the Torah is that the Kohenim have to make sure there is a constant fire burning on the mizbech, on the altar. So what's the explanation of it is as follows. In the internal Beis HaMikdash, the personal Beis HaMikdash that a Jew builds within themselves, a Jew has what's called a neshama. The neshama is the Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. The candle of Hashem is the neshama of the person. That is the fire that Hashem puts into every single Jew. That's the Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. It's the neshama, the flame from above. The Pintal Yid, the neshama, whatever you want to call it. In addition to that, Hashem says, it's not enough that I make you a Jew. You have to do your part in expanding the Yiddishkeit, the fire that I gave you. And it says, in fact, we mentioned this not long ago, in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe brings down the Zohar, that the Zohar says that Shlomo HaMelech is screaming, Shemen Aresh Chal Techser,
don't lose out the oil on your head. You shouldn't be missing oil on your head. What does this mean? So the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, explains the Zohar in Tanya, and he says as follows. A person is a wick. A person is the wick. There is oil, there's everything ready. Okay? But if you don't feed the flame eventually goes out. So what Shlomo HaMelech is saying is make sure you keep this fire burning. Because the fire of the neshama, if you don't have fuel to keep it going, it's going to eventually stop. A physical analogy of this, if you have a lighter, and you light it. So if there's no fuel, you'll get a spark, you know, one after another, but it won't last. Why? Because there's nothing keeping the spark. You need the fuel to keep the spark. What the Torah is teaching us over here is as follows. Many people say, I'm a Jew in my heart, or you can call him a cardiac Jew, a Jew that's a Jew in the heart, and he says, I feel Jewish in my heart, and I feel. Because with all that feeling, God forbid, you can get a heart attack from feeling so much pressure that they feel so much of godliness in the heart. Hashem says, it's not enough. It's mandatory for a person to bring their own fire, meaning their own mitzvahs, ner mitzvah, v'teirah or, besides the ner Hashem nishma sodom, Hashem says, I'm bringing a fire, make sure you bring a fire. Your fire is ner mitzvah, v'teirah or. It's the ner of a mitzvah. So therefore, the Torah is teaching us like this. You bring a mizbeach, you're creating a korban, you want to bring yourself as a korban to Hashem. There's two things involved. You should realize the potential that we have, because we have a fire from Hashem. And that fire from Hashem is infinite power, because it comes from Hashem. Yet at the same time, we cannot rely only on that. We need to actually create our own flame, our own Yiddishkeit, our own enthusiasm, to be able to keep the mix, the two fires together. And that's what happened on the Mizbeach, and that's why the Eibishter wants in the personal Mizbeach, which is the heart of the Jew, by the way, like we learned in the previous parashias, that Mizbeach is the heart of the Jew, and that's what needs to be done also. Now, he brings down over here from the Gemara, says five miracles happened with this fire that came down from heaven. Number one is, it was, and the Gemara says, Revutza Ka'ari, when this coal, in fact, it says, actually, Rashi says in the Gemara, it was a Gecheles, a coal, a fire came down from heaven, and it was crouched like a lion. It looked like a lion, that's what it was like. The second miracle was that it shone like the ray of the sun. It was a bright coal, it was a mamish, like an illuminated coal. The third one was there was a substantial fire in it, because a lot of times when you have a coal and a barbecue, there's no open fire, just the coal is very hot, but there's no actual open fire here it was. The fourth miracle was that it consumed, whether something was dry or wet, it consumed it. And the fifth miracle was that on the Mizbeach, like we know, there was no, it didn't create a smoke. It didn't create smoke, it stayed as it is as a fire without any smoke. Okay? So these are the five miracles that took place on the Mizbeach, with this fire. Okay, then the pasuk continues, it says like this. V'och b'nei Aaron ha-Kayanim, the children of Aaron, the Kayanim, after arranged the pieces of this animal, as a reish v'esa poder, the head and the fats, alo ha'etzim asher alo ha'etzim, on the wood, which is on the fire, asher alo mizbeach, which is on the mizbeach. So in other words, they have to actually organize the meat in a systematic fashion that it should burn properly on the Mizbeach. V'kir be'yuchrov yechad v'mayim. He should wash the innards of the animal and the feet of the animal with water. V'hitter ha'kein es ha'kir la'mizbeach. And the Kohen brought everything on the Mizbeach. Oila as an elevation offering. Reich nechayach la'shem, this good smell to Hashem. Now, the Mefashim explain. In fact, this is what Takad Or HaChaim says. It says, V'hikter ha'kein es ha'koil ha'mizbeach. He brought everything on the Mizbeach. Oil was completely burnt, except we learned the hide was not part of the carbon. So the Gemara learned out in Zvachim that when it says hakel, it means even the horns of the animal were burnt. Even the horns of the animal were burnt on the Mizbeach. So Ur HaChaima asks, but we find an earlier carbon in Chubish when it wasn't burnt, when the horns weren't burnt. And this is the Akedah. It says by the Akedah that, and here the question, we'll see the way the Ur HaChaima explains exactly what happened, but the horns, the shofar of the ram that he took to bring up instead of Yitzchak, so it says ram has two horns, so it says in the Medrash that the left horn, the left shofar, was used at Matan Torah, and the right horn will be used, you talk about shofar gadol when Mashiach comes. So he asks the question, if the halacha is that an oila has to be burnt, including the horns, why didn't Avraham Avinu bring up the horns as a carbon? So he answers a number of answers. One answer is, he says it could be, that Avraham Taka brought the whole thing on the Mizbeach. And Hashem knocked off the horns. And as he did it, he put the whole thing on the Mizbeach to burn, and Hashem let the horns come off, and that's why he took them. One answer. That's what he said, Ulai, maybe. Or, he, after the Zrika, after he squirted the blood of the ram, that's when he took it off, and he said like this, when are they obligated to be burnt together with the animal? Only when they're still connected to the animal. But if you separated them after squirting the blood, you separated the horns from the animal, maybe then they don't have to be burnt. And that's why Avraham Avinu did it. The Mashiach one I have. You want to see it? Sorry? Yeah, I have it. My house. You want to see it? Yeah.
No, they're at the Museum of Mashiach.
The Mashiach Museum, yeah. One second. Or, he says like this. Or it could be another reason, because Avraham Avinu was before Matan Torah. Before Matan Torah, so it demonstrates. He says, even though Avraham Avinu kept the whole entire Torah, even Erev Tavshilin, so how could we say he didn't keep the Torah? So he says that was when it was no, when he had to do it. In other words, he had to do it. When did they keep Torah? If there was nothing pressing them to do differently, like with Yaakov and marrying two sisters and Yud and Tamar, that old story. He said over here, Hashem wanted the horns for Matan Torah and Mashiach. So therefore, he needed to take them off because this that he kept the Torah is only if there's nothing that contradicted the keeping of Torah. In other words, if there was nothing harmful by keeping Torah, he kept the entire Torah. But here Hashem wanted the horns, the smaller horn and the bigger horn for Matan Torah Mashiach. So therefore, the Eibush, this Avraham Avinu didn't bring the horns.
This eye was a korban olah.
Yeah.
And it says to be burned everything, including the horns.
It says over here, v'iktar kil. And the Gemara learns out, even, like he says, Amr Azal, the horns and the feet, everything was brought up as a carbon. So he says this is the difference why Avraham Avinu didn't do it. Now, stam about the two horns of Matan Torah and the concept of the Mashiach. There is by Matan Torah it says by Hikol Shefer Chazik Me'ed, the voice of the Shefer. It doesn't speak about Shefer Gadol. Doesn't speak about the big shofar. It speaks about regular shofar, kol shofar. By Mashiach, the pasuk says, "Vayivaya bayemahu yitaka b'shofar gadol." Be blown in the big shofar. And therefore, there's a lot in Chassidus discussed why now by Matan Torah was a regular shofar enough, and by Mashiach you need a big shofar. There seems to be an emphasis that by Matan Torah was a regular Shefer. And by Mashiach it says, Yitaka b'Shefer Gadol. There's a lot of my modern written on this. The gist of it is, because there's a lot, why doesn't it say who's going to blow, whatever. The gist of it is as follows. When the Pasuk says, V'haya b'yemahu Yitaka b'Shefer Gadol, then the Pasuk continues, Hubo'a ha'evdim b'Eretz Asher, the lost Jews from Assyria, in the Yidachim Eretz Mitzrayim, and the lost soul from Mitzrayim, they're going to all come, v'yishtachvu la'ar Hashem, they're going to bow to Hashem, v'harakeri b'yushalayim in Yerushalayim. So it says like this. What is the concept of Shefer? The concept of Shefer is, like the Rambam writes, even though Shefer is Exeris HaKosuf, it's illogical, but the Rambam is the Eshbedovet. The Rambam says there's a reason why you have to do it. And he says, Uru Yishishenim Mishinaschem. Wake up from the sleep. Or as the Pasuk says, Taka Shefer Be'ir Va'amla Yecharadu. If you blow Shefer, the people won't tremble. A Shefer basically is an alarm clock. Practically speaking,
a wake-up call.
So he says, by Matan Torah, the Jews were on a pretty high level. They came out of Mitzrayim, the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Amalek, all the great miracles. So what happened at Matan Torah? The Jews were not away from Yiddishkeit. They were in Yiddishkeit. So over there, regular size Shefer would be enough. But if you're talking about Evdim and Nidachim, you're talking about the lost Jews, and the Jews that are far, far away from Yiddishkeit. So what's going to awaken them, meaning what's going to stimulate them to come to Yerushalayim in a spiritual sense? Over there you need a Shefer Gadol. You need a greater level of Shefer to be able to awaken, stimulate them that they should come to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash. But over here, by a regular Korban Eila, the whole thing was burnt, and even the horns. Okay, then the pasuk continues. Now, the Daskin Balatesis explains, why did they need to wash it off anyway? The whole thing is getting burnt on the Mizbeach. Nobody's eating it. Like, who cares? Just put it out and burn. Why do you have to wash it? So he writes, it's not respectful for the king, because it's coming on the table of the king, it's coming in the Mizbeach, Hashem's table, it has to be done in a respectful manner. Therefore, it had to be washed and cleaned and make sure it's presentable for Hashem's table. That's Kirin Malatesis, he said. Now, we also discussed already in much greater length the concept of what the Pasuk says here, Reach Nicheach LaHashem, and Rashi says over here, Nachas Ruach Lefanai Shamarti V'Nasir Etzeini. What is the Nachas Ruach that Hashem said, and we listened? Okay? Remember, we discussed it at great length, that even though that happens by every mitzvah, but by Karbonis, it's more. The Mefarshim over here bring down the famous story that took place with Shaul HaMelech with Amalek. And this is a remarkable concept. As holy as Karbonis are, and we're learning it's Karbon Karov, you know, it causes Reach Nicheach LaHashem, it brings one person to become one with Hashem. I mean, Karbonis, we're davening every day for Mashiach to come to be able to have the Karbonis, the sacrifices again. But there's something which is even greater than that, and it is what Hashem says, Reach Nicheach LaHashem, that I told you to do something and you listen. What does this mean? There's the famous story in Shmuel. Hashem told Shmuel to tell Shaul to kill out Amalek. Shaul went, killed out, as we know, this the Haftarah, one of the famous Haftarahs of the year, Parsha Zachar. He told him, kill out Amalek. Shaul went, he brought back the animals, and he brought back Agag, who was the king of Amalek. He brought him back alive. Shem turns to Shmuel Anavi and says to him, guess what? I regret that I made Shaul HaMelech king. Tell him he's no more king. That's it, finished. I didn't say it. Hashem said. One reason I wasn't born then. Now, Hashem says to Shmuel, tell him he's finished. Shmuel goes to Hashem, to Shaul, and he says, "Nu, what's going on?" He says, "Baruch atah Hashem, akimeisi es dvar Hashem." Shaul says to Shmuel, "I fulfilled the mission of God. I killed out Amalek." So Shmuel said to him, saying, "What is the voice of the sheep that I'm hearing?" So Shaul HaMelech says, "Because the mitzvah was to kill out everything, men, women, children, everybody, kill them out." So Shaul said to Shmuel, "What do you mean? I brought him back to bring korbanos, to say thank you to Hashem, to bring korbanos to Hashem. What do you mean what I did? So Shmuel said a very profound statement. Halei shmeya mizevach toiv. Listening to what Hashem said is better than a korban. Halei shmeya mizevach toiv. Listening is better than a good korban. Lahakshiv, to listen to what Hashem tells you to do, is better mechelev elim, from the fat of the rams. So what did Shmuel tell Shaul? Yeah, you're a very great guy. You were brilliant in your concepts.
Were they related?
No. Shmuel was a Levi. Shaul came from Binyamin. They were good friends. No, really, they were good friends. He was the king, he was the Navi. I mean, until this time, then they... Now,
David.
So Shmuel says, that's it. You lost kingdom. Now, it's explained, especially in Chassidus, it's explained at very great length. Shaul HaMelech, the Pasuk, when they were making Shaul king, so it says in the Pasuk, he was Meshichmei Ulemaila Gavaya Mikol Ish. Literally means, he was head and shoulders above everybody. Which simply means that Shaul was a very tall guy. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Obviously, the Nach is not telling us whether he's a basketball player or not. That's totally irrelevant. Mm-hmm. If anything, they play baseball. Now, so what does it mean? So Chassidus explains, what does it mean? Mishichmei ulemayla gavayi mikolam, mikol ish. It means his head was above everybody else's. What does that mean in simple English?
Smart.
He was intellectually much, much greater than all the other Jews. He was brilliant, smarter than all the other Jews. Comes along Shmuel and says to him, listen, in Seichel, logically, you're 100% right. Logic, you're 100% right. The problem is that when it comes to mitzvahs, there is no logic. Listening to what God said and not mixing your seichel into it is better than any korban that you're going to bring. That means not understanding and Kabbalah still doing it because Hashem said so is greater than any korban you're going to give. And because of that, by the way, Shaul lost kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now you have to understand, Shaul was a tzaddik. Shaul was intellectually, it says Shaul came mechoy v'sanar, even though it doesn't say about that Shaul, but it says he came from the highest level of Bina. Mechoy v'sanar is from the level of Bina. Shaul HaMelech was a very wholly brilliant Jew, not some Einstein type of a Jew. He was a brilliant Torah Yid. And in Seichel he was 100% right. But Hashem says, what is the nachas ruach? Sha'amarti v'nasid atzeini, that you do what I tell you to do without any seichel, without any intellect mixing in. And that's what the real meaning of reich nicheich l'Hashem is. Even though this carbon makes no sense, you take it, you have to shecht it this way and cut it this way and put it this way, and there's no seichel. What is the Nachas Ruach Hashem says? What is the Reich Nechayach? Sha'amarti v'nasir etzeini, that I said, and you don't question.
Can they say that it was lack of bitul?
It was the bitul of seichel, not the bitul of Kabbalah Seir. It was a bitul of intellect, but not, in other words, to give a physical mashal, you have, God comes to the head of the person. He says, okay, throw yourself into boiling hot water. Yeah, the head, seichel. Yeah, the head says, hey, 1 minute, I hear you, God. Maybe he means somebody else. Maybe he means I should cool off the water first. Maybe he means I should do it tomorrow when it's not so hot. Maybe, 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 maybe. That's the maybes. Hashem comes to the foot, which has no seichel. Hashem says, foot, jump into hot water. The foot, because it's brainless,
jumps
into the hot water. And that's the maila. This is what Chassidus explains, is the advantage of the foot over the head. That's the advantage. 1 second. I'm going to give our generation a compliment in a minute. No, that's, oh gosh. Okay, 1 second. No, it's your husband's not here, that's why. He would control the question. What it means is, the older generations were called the heads. We learned already many times in the beginning, and not only in every generation is that Rosh B'nai Yisrael, and the Yidin are Koma Shleim, it's called. A whole body. Atem Yitzavim Eim Kulchem, there's Rosheichem Shifteichem, all the way to the water carriers, the wood choppers. The whole Jewish nation is a body, one big body. Right? There's the head, the hands, stomach, feet. Okay. From the beginning of time, there is also Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe Rabbeinu, those tzaddikim with the heads. And we are called in the Medrash and in the Zohar, Ikvis de Mashiach, the Ikvayim, the heels of Mashiach. So it says, why are we called Ikvis de Mashiach? In the Gemara is in Saita, says, be Ikvis de Mashiach in the era of the heels of Mashiach. So the simple meaning of the Gemara is, because we're the last generation, you know, with the heels is the lower, the last generation. But in the deeper sense, what the Gemara means also, the Mefarshim say, Ikvis de Mashiach means it's the lowest part of the body. There were the heads, and were the heels. Like, that's where they were brilliant and scholarly in the Gemara. And we're, you know, the end of the totem pole. But, it says, so the question is, if they couldn't bring Mashiach, how are we going to be able to bring Mashiach? So there's a lot of answers. One is the midget on top of the giant, meaning they're giants, and we're midgets, and the giant could see much farther than the midget. But when the midget stands on top of the giant, he's taller than the giant. And he can see farther than the giant can. So the simple answer is, they're giants, we're midgets, okay? But we're standing accumulatively on the Avodah and Torah Mitzvah that they did. So we're the midgets standing on top of the giants. We're going to bring Mashiach, and they couldn't, okay? Because we're the last straw, so to speak, that's breaking the camel's back, even though it's one straw. But in the deeper sense, one second. In the deeper sense, it means like this. Because they had a greater level of understanding of godliness, they didn't have the same Mesiras Nefesh we have today. In other words, intellect contradicts self-sacrifice. Like I said, the seichel, the head, tomorrow, next day, cool it, do it. You know, there's no... When seichel gets involved, then Mesiras Nefesh and Kabbalah soul doesn't work. We see that by Shaul HaMelech. We see that many different aspects. Because our generation has no seichel, basically. Definitely not compared to their level of understanding. So because of that, the Mesiras Nefesh we have is much greater than they did, and therefore they didn't bring Mashiach, we're going to bring Mashiach. And that's, 1 second, and this explains also what we have discussed in the past, different Fabrengans and things, that in the time of Matan Torah, they didn't willingly accept Torah. When did they willingly accept Torah? Kimel v'kiblu in the time of Purim. Was Lachay, so the Rebbe asks, they're on Matan Torah on the high, and Purim they had an elation, they were going to get killed and destroyed, and they were on the lowest of the low. Yeah, but they had Mesiras Nefesh, and Dafka because they're the lowest of the low. When the Pasuk says here by Korbanos, Reach Nichayach Lashem, Shamarti V'Nasa Detzeni, the moral of the story is, when Hashem says something, we do it. We said many times, there's a marshal which is given. A general gives an order in war. The general gives an order. The soldier does not listen to the general. And because he didn't listen, they won the war. If he would have listened to the general, they would have lost the war. He didn't listen to the general, so because of that, they won the battle. So now the shaila is, what do you do to the soldier? Do you reward him? Or do you court-martial him? So the answer is you court-martial him. Why? Because the job of a soldier is not to win a war. The job of a soldier is to listen to the general. The winning the war That's the general's problem, not the soldier's problem. The soldier's mission is not to win the war. The soldier's mission is to listen to the general. And because he didn't listen, he's out. So now the question is, what's wrong with our seichel? That's what you asked. Yeah? So the answer is, there is a nasa, and then there comes the nishma. If the premise is, we'll do whether I understand or not, and it doesn't matter how I understand, if I do or don't understand, it's totally irrelevant to the action, I'm going to do it. Then you come along and say, now that I'm doing it, and I do it, let me try to understand why God told me what he did. That's where seichel comes into play. But not if it's whether you should or not, or, as is brought down in many svarim, the question is not if, but how. Not if I'm going to do it or not, I'm going to do it now. Because Hashem said, you do it now. How? That's where seichel has to come in. To figure out how to do it. I mentioned this countless times in shul. Not, I think more women tonight than men, but it doesn't apply so much to women. It's so much, yeah, but if you're talking about quality, it's a different story. Yeah, you asked for it, so don't even answer, you asked for it. Yeah, Mashiach's coming soon. So, the thing is, when people, I give you a marshal. The Stein gedacht, God forbid, somebody has to say Kaddish. Parent passes away, they have to go say Kaddish. So, they know, 3 times a day they have to be in shul. Shachris bin Chamayev. Yeah? Somehow, they make it to shul. They come, Shachris, Mincha, Mai, winter, summer, they make it to say Kaddish. All of a sudden, the year's over, you don't see them anymore. That's it, they don't come anymore. So you ask him, why don't you come to shul anymore? I can't. So what do you mean you can't? It's the middle of my day, I'm working, how can I come? The question is, but you just came a whole year, every single day, you never missed a day, you came a whole year, so how were you able to do it then? Then I had to. But now, I can't. So what's the pshat? The pshat is very simple. Over there, the person made up their mind, Shamarti v'naser etzayni, I'm going to be in shul. I have to be in shul. I will be in shul. That's the given, the naser. Then the person figures out, okay, the given is I have to be in shul. Now figure out how to do it. Once the year's up and the given is not there anymore, then seichel comes in and says, woman, you can't do it. What changed? What changed was the attitude of saying nasa, it's going to be done. It's a very important, not only Kaddish saying, in life, it's a very important lesson. If a person's attitude in Yiddishkeit is, I will do it, given, I will keep Shabbos and kosher and other. You know, once you make up your mind that it's happening, it's going to happen. How? That's where seichel comes in. What? I don't know. That's why by seichel does 2 things. Seichel is to understand the reason after I'm doing it. In other words, if Shaul HaMelech did the reverse, he killed the women and the children and Agag, and then he asked why, he would still be the king today. You know what I mean? Because then the seichel doesn't contradict the Mesiras Nefesh, it complements the Mesiras Nefesh.
Every time you do it, you don't understand, but you do it because
God says
on a little echelon, on a high echelon.
That's a
Shamarti v'Nasa
Ratzeini.
It's a Mesiras.
Yeah, that's what exactly what it is.
Sometimes you have someone.
That's Nasa v'Nishma.
No, but you should do all your
mitzvahs
that
way. Okay, another thing the Mefarshim explain. Okay, another thing the Mefarshim explain of why it's Nachas Ruach Shamarti V'Nasa Ratzeini. There's a famous Yerushalmi that says, what do you do to a person that sins? So one thing they asked, said, kill him. Shalul Uteira, What do? Kill him. They ask somebody else, let him bring a carbon. They ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu, what do? You do tshuva v'yiskaperli. Do tshuva and the person will be forgiven. He says, when a person brings a carbon, the Torah later says, by sin offerings, v'zvados chatosim hashos, they have to confess the sins. So he says, the nachas ruach is, what's Hashem's enjoyment? That the person realized they need to do tshuva, and that's why they brought the carbon, and they're confessing their sins. Hashem says, that's the reach nechayach of the carbon, that's the good smell of the carbon, that the person realized that, you know what Hashem, you gave me an opportunity to do tshuva, I'm using this opportunity, and that's the enjoyment that Hashem has. But it's definitely not from the smell of an animal. I mean, that's the given. Okay. Then the Pasuk says like this. Pasuk Yud. Okay. Vim. Now the Torah speaks like this. Vim minat saying korbanai minakvah. So this is if he brought im eila korbanim in a bakar, right? If it's from the bakar, from the cattle, the Torah says zocher tam yakivenu. He has to be male. Now the Torah says, what happens if you don't bring it from a cattle, meaning from a bull or an ox or whatever? Vim minat saying korbanai. If you bring a korban from the flock or minaksavim. From the flock, from the sheep, or minoizim, from the goats, la'elo. Again, zocher tomim yakrivenu. You have to bring the carbon. You have to bring it as a male, complete one. Sometimes it's kvasim, sometimes it's kvasim. They're interchangeable. Kesev and kevas. They're both, it doesn't matter. Then it says like this. The shachat eisei, you have to shecht it, ayerchem mizbech sefein ofnei Hashem, the northern side of the mizbech before Hashem. And again, v'zorku b'nei adin ha'keinim es domei, the b'nei adin ha'keinim will squirt the blood, ala mizbeach saviv, around the mizbeach. Now, the Abarbanel explains like this.
Who's the Abarbanel?
Rabbi Yitzchak Abarbanel. He lived during the Spanish Inquisition.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the great commentaries of in the court over there, and he had to run away, and all kinds of mice.
No, an area.
Okay, so the Abarbanel says that there's three things over here. There's cattle, then there's sheep and goats, and the next status is birds. He says, why does the Torah mention each one separately? So he explains, because the difference between is how much the guy was able to afford. Now don't forget, these are all donation korbanos. These are all not mandatory korbanos. These are, you know, a guy wants to just bring a carbon to Dov, a gift. Okay? So he says, if a guy was able to afford it, he had to bring a cattle. If he didn't have that much money, he brought the cheaper animal. If he had less money, it was less. Now, he says, he quotes the Gemara and says, Echad amarba v'echad amamit, whether somebody gives more or less, u'bavachi chavan libe l'shamayim, as long as he has the intent of doing it for the sake of God. Meaning, Hashem doesn't mind if a person brings a cheaper carbon, as long as the intent is there. Now, if a person is wealthy and brings a poor man's sacrifice, the Gemara says, Asha shehikriv carbon ani, a rich man who brings a poor man's carbon is not fulfilling the obligation. Okay? Because you have to give what you can. And this concept, what our Barbanel is saying about the poor man with the rich man, is a remarkable concept also in Yiddishkeit. People have a tendency to say, if they don't do it, why do I have to do it? If they don't go to Minyan three times a day, they don't learn every day, they don't give it, well, am I better than them? They don't do it, I also don't have to do it. By the way, nobody speaks like that in earthly things. In earthly things, it says, it's the Welt means the world says the following. In the Elena we say, V'yadayte yeyem v'shevesa levecha, ki Hashem olekim shenor, God is God, v'shemayim imal, the heavens are above, the earth is mitachas and the earth below. So it says in Sfarim like this, Bashamayim, when it comes to heavenly things, Mimal, always look up. Look at the guy who's doing more than you. Ba'aretz, when it comes to earthly things, Mitachas, look at the guy below you. If they don't have it, why do I need it? You know, but in heavenly things, the Gemara says, you should always look up to the higher person. A person has to understand that in Yiddishkeit, in serving Hashem and Torah mitzvahs, there's no such comparison of one person to the next. Because one person spiritually could be a poor man who could bring a poor man's carbon, and as we'll learn later, the Torah over there uses the expression nefesh ki sakriv, by the flower offering, which is even cheaper than the bird. The Torah uses the expression nefesh ki sakriv. If it doesn't say adam ki akriv, it says a nefesh, meaning God says when a poor man brings a carbon, Hashem says, I consider it as if he brought his soul. That's how much God enjoys the poor man's sacrifice. At the same time, another person has to know that a poor man can't bring a rich man's carbon. In other words, a rich man cannot bring a poor man's carbon. A poor man can bring a rich man's carbon. But in a spiritual sense, at least you're listening. In the spiritual sense, it means that you can't compare yourself to another Jew, how much observance of Torah mitzvahs they do, because maybe more is demanded from you, because you learned more, you have a different upbringing, you have the ability to do more. You can't compare, and that's what the Torah says. The Torah says there's a carbon of bakar, there's a carbon of tzayin, there's a carbon of birds, there's a carbon of flower, you know. Everybody is good. By each one it says, Reach Nichech Lashem. But that's only if you're bringing what you're able to bring. And if you'll be cheap on the carbon, so to speak, in a spiritual sense, then it's not Reach Nichech, it didn't fulfill your obligation. You have to do what you're able to do plus. In other words, a poor man is allowed to bring a rich man's carbon. And he is praised for bringing a rich man's carbon. But not the opposite. It makes sense. It's
once a poor man brings a rich man's carbon, he's richer as he's poor again later.
So doing mitzvahs, learning, davening. I'll give you an example. For certain people, let's say in the men's department, for a certain person, if they have a cheap, kosher pair of tefillin, is good. It's good. Halavai, you know. But for a person who's more advanced, they should have a better pair of tefillin. You know what I mean? Do the mitzvah in a better way. Whether it's tzitzis or keeping Shabbos or kosher. You know, you can't say, well, because they don't keep a higher standard of kashrus, why should I? That's a very wrong. On the contrary, the attitude has to be, if they're doing more, then I should also be doing more. Not the tendency of people to do less. Now, another thing, when it says over here the expression, v'hikter ha-kein ha-sakir la-mizbecha, what is the definition of hikter? Hikter has a number of different interpretations to it. Hikter means burn, okay? But really, then it should say v'nisraf. If you say like in Pasuk Tes, right? Before we started this thing, when it says v'hikter ha-kein ha-sakir la-mizbecha, what does the hikter mean? In English, it's spelled, you should burn. Okay? But in Hebrew, the word for burning is really visaraf. Okay? That's in Chumash. You also have visaraf to burn, sreifa. Yeah, but here you're talking about a carbon, not talking about potatoes. So, some of Farshim learn, why does it say vihikter? Because hikter means a column of smoke. Meaning, hikter kotar is a column of smoke. They say, why by Kobanos does it use the word vihikter? Because the purpose of a carbon is to go up, like a column of smoke that goes up. Unklus, and this is a very interesting thing, defines it as vihikter from the word going up. And Rabbeinu Bechaya says even a remarkable thing, and this is brought down a lot in Chassidus and Kabbalah. In Hebrew, the word ktar, kuf tes reish, if you speak Aramaic, tes and shin are interchangeable. In Aramaic to Hebrew. The word ktaris, ktar, comes from the word kesher, a knot. In fact, Rashbi said, it's the famous Zoya that Rashbi said on his deathbed, Bechat ktiro is katarna, with one knot, I tied myself to Hashem. Which means that the whole purpose of carbon, and the Torah is saying, why is the Torah using the word vihiktir instead of an israf? Because the Torah is saying the purpose of a carbon is to bind the person to Hashem. What's the difference? It's a very interesting concept. What's the concept of a covenant?
Blit.
A bris. Yeah. In English, there's an expression when people get married that they tie the knots. Mm-hmm. You mean it's when they tie the knot? Mm-hmm. It's a goyish expression, but it has a tighter meaning to it. Because marriage is a bris. It's a covenant. What is the concept of a knot? Of a tying the knot, so to speak, of a kesher, of ktaris, of a hikdir. The concept of a marriage is a very good example of this. Somebody can ask, okay, man and woman could live together. What do you need to be married for? What does marriage do? Why does the Torah want marriage? Contract. Not a contract. Think about the money contract. The concept of marriage is a bond. What's the pshat about? What is meaning a bond? When you have two friends, okay, they're friends. Once they get into a fight, there's nothing keeping them together anymore. There's nothing keeping them together anymore. The concept of marriage is, what's the purpose of marriage? That even when you get into a fight, it's not over. You're still bound to each other. That's the concept of bris mil also, by the way. That a Jew has an eternal bond with Hashem, that no matter what happens, they're connected to Hashem. What's the union of marriage, so to speak? The purpose of marriage is that even when things are not so rosy, the honeymoon's over, and reality sets in, and there's reason to fight and to do everything else, because there's a bond, there's tying the knot, that keeps the two people connected to one another. That's the concept of a kesher. By Kobanas, the Torah uses the word vihiktir, to show that a carbon is actually what binds a Jew to Hashem. Not only the physical carbon of bringing the animal on the Mizbeach, but it actually means the bond of the personal carbon of a person becoming closer to Hashem, that they shech the nefesh abamis, like we learned, and they sprinkle the blood on the Mizbeach and all that. All of that is used in the term of vihiktir, the Rabbeinu Bechaya says. It should be a kesher between the Jew and Hashem. That no matter what happens, it's done. The kesher is there. Rameyad in the Gemara is a very beautiful expression. He speaks when the Jews are sinning against God. He says, Benkachu benkach banayim. They even made a song out of it. Benkachu benkach banayim. Whether they're like this, or they're like this, they're still my kids. Doesn't matter. They behave, misbehave, who cares? Bottom line is, they're my kids. This is the accomplishment of the physical carbon and the personal carbon within a person's self, that it's actually vehikter olav. The bond is what creates Reach L'Chayach L'Hashem. Now, in this carbon, it's interesting, that it's getting late, but the Torah says there are different types of carbonus. Meaning in this bond between a Jew and God, there's certain parts of our life that have to be a korban oila, completely dedicated to God. There are certain parts of the life of the korban, there's a korban shlomim. What shlomim? Everybody gets. God gets, the kohen gets, the guy that brings it gets. You know what I mean? In life, in the korban, which is the relationship between the Jew and Hashem, Hashem says, listen, there are certain things in life that I want you to give me an oila. What is giving an example of that? Hashem, when you're davening, I want you to be all mine. No business, no this, no that, a million things. You're davening. Now Hashem says, that is Korban Eila. I want you to be totally devoted and dedicated to the davening, to the learning, whatever. Then a Jew has business, you know. You get, they get, to make a living, Hashem gets some tzedakah, you get the money, this guy, that. Over there Hashem says, you know what? The relationship is not necessarily all mine. Hashem says, you have a part. Like Hashem says, tzedakah. Yeah? 90% is yours, but 10% is mine. So it's like a sharing. Certain times Hashem says, it's all mine. Okay.